It's my pleasure to say hello to all of you viewing our program once again. This is Stephen Coppell, your host on the San Francisco Poetry TV broadcast. It's a pleasure to welcome several of our elegant and elevated poets who have a great deal to offer. And our first one in that regard is from the East Bay, an excellent poet, pianist, and bon vivant. This is Steve Arnston. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Stephen. I've selected one here from the Coast series. It's called The Nezel River in Washington State. The man was fishing from his wheelchair, fishing the Nezel River, itself warming to his fishing occasion, the river receiving his ritual, its movement like a matador's passe, twisting the spring sun upon it, his favorite bend of the Nezel beneath the bridge. He's a good troll down there below Highway 4 to Longview and the other imaginary places. There are cherry trees to cheer the fly fisherman. He is unobserved by those in motion, unnoticed by the driven. You have to stop to catch his act, unfolding like the hidden origami meanings of Tchaikovsky's Fifth in all its military blaring. It is the river's morning also, out on bail, out on patrol, glassy-eyed, glossy like a magazine salesman sprung from jail, his magenta encyclopedia's forfeit also. It is the state of Washington and explicit morning pools beneath the birches, and the riverbanks having given in to the valley's diamond death demands. The fisherman is photographed by one who takes as much time with the camera as he takes with a bait and tackle, having stayed connected, as Highway 4 to 401 is attached and goes on to the Columbia. The doctor had said it was the ischium and other bone body parts were to blame, said it like a detective solving for Tchaikovsky's bone riddles, his musical text and notes amidst the notes. The Nezel River sounding a little French just now in its travels. And the fisherman is Gnostic with casting, and his wire hair companion is a peaceful dog, as calm as the colors that curve with the river. The pool, like a habitat where you're not sure anyone cares if anyone's home. And elsewhere fish positioned for safety. They seem to avoid the temptation of the lure, as I myself, an observer on the bridge, avoid conversation, letting him have his solitude, wishing only to know the forename of the foreman who supervised the first suspension over, the first comparting of upriver and down. So I evade interaction except for the iris, the image of the man, and it is the serenity of Hirohito in his garden, having just returned from standing under freezing waterfalls of protocol. And his rigor's done, the young emperor rejoices in time out, knowing the young die out. They die off. They go from healthy fry to fretful spawn. And then, in this eastern Oz near a western ocean, it's always morning in Munchkin land. And you allow for sleepyheads out of bed and left to see what's become of wickedness before it withdraws and curls up under Kansas timber. The photograph consulted like an oracle of spring, the man within his riverine province content.
Our next open mic reader, a gentleman from the East Bay. He's had years of experience in writing and in having his work published in various mainstream journals, and he's also had an opportunity to share his poetry in a wider audience, radio stations in San Francisco, KGO, and also in the Seattle, Portland area on KHHO. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Don. Don, please give us your full name and a little bit of description about your work.
My name is Don Aztowno Hagelberg.
Excellent.
And you can call me whatever you want to, but don't call me late for dinner.
Don, can we hear some of your poetry now? Thank you.
Reservoir of Stone. This poem is for Nancy Sherry. skip throne on top of the ocean of literature, that I can imagine. I become the medium through which I move, and so I turn into a clot of spit, a mouthful of bacteria, a wet collection of all the germs of all the girls whom I have kissed. Witness this, witness this. I press my lips to the tips of my finger pads and impress my infectious love of nouns and verbs with a purposeful caress to the middle of the skull, which protects the attractive fat solution of your active intellect hidden behind your blessed forehead. I worship this. I worship this. The unfolding list of poems your hard steel chisel has flaked off the surface of my stone-cold heart. It has quarried a vulgar gem. This tool which you have used, hammered in relentless beats, resurrects both blood and heat of my warming feldspar and quartz fleshed core. The second poem, also to another woman, this is entitled Caress, and this is for Kira Lee Sanchez, who used to be the hancha at the Coffee Gallery readings in the 1970s. It begins with a quote: "All beginnings require that you unlock a new door." From Rebbe Nachman of Breslau. Shamed, I pat the overhang of my paunch. For sure I've lost touch with my youthful dream, which once thought it could unlock time with the end rhyme orange and tinge. The once satin soles of my metric feet now rub my lover's calves raw with extra grit sandpaper skin. Calluses accompany age, it's the law. The only delicate thing of mine to remain are the mystic whorls of my poetic fingerprints, exercising the click of these keys, unhasping the paged friend who touched me.
I thank you so much. Please come back and join us again. Our next open mic performer is Garrett Murphy. Welcome, Garrett.
Oh, welcome. My pleasure to be here for the first time.
It's a pleasure to welcome you.
I'm considered a political and human nature satirist, and I'll read three pieces. The first is called A Poem About Nothing, nothing to say, nothing to do, nothing comes to mind, drawing a blank, as in nothing. Not a thing, nothing from nothing equals nothing. Even multiplied by a number of something, it still means nothing. Empty, or nada, or zero, silch, as far as anything, and nothing is the best friend of the antis of the world. A name that changes, yet remains the same. Every so often, someone comes up with this trick to accomplish the cliché, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like this one would-be trick recently in Contra Costa, petitioning the county board to rename Mount Diablo and call it Mount Reagan. The boards all nixed it, but come to think of it, had that stunt come to success, it would have made the real point. In the year 2012, does it not seem peculiar to all who contemplate that there's renewed interest in the prophecy? There's even a new movie about such a thing, and some even suggest that it's a future. We all know what they said about 1984 and Y2K, yet those and others didn't quite turn out as thought. Could the same be said about 2012? We won't know for sure till then, of course, but one does take note that some channel Chick Little, well, the sky is falling because the black man's in charge, and they do know how to act like little bitty chickens. Hey, the blacks only had to look in from the out for 232 years. A black gets in for 4, or more preferably 8, and all of a sudden they're looking to that Mayan prophecy. Count on them to find new and creative means to divide and conquer, and they can't even get the details straight. After year of 2012, humankind may find itself not alive should it try to bring about that prophecy, and elect some GOP, Palin or other, to be chief executive of the once free world.
That was Garrett Murphy. Thank you for joining us today. Next at the open mic on the San Francisco Poetry TV show, Don Brennan, well known in San Francisco. He has several chapbooks, has been a presenter here in San Francisco, and is also a world traveler with his lovely wife, Miss Aura. And it's great to see you again.
Well, it's lovely to see you, Stephen.
Thank you. And please present your work for our audience at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm not going to say anything about poetry. I'm writing more short poetry now. I just want to say, though, that this first one is kind of my contribution to International Women's Month. It's called A Witchy Philosopher. Once upon a time, there was a philosopher who discovered eternity in the moment. The philosopher was convicted of heresy because the law of the priest dictated that eternity is forever in the sky. But the philosopher argued that she had discovered eternity in the moment, not the sky. All you need to learn is how to be here now, she said, and you will then see that the moment is the same as forever. Here and now, not someplace else. The priest burned her at the stake for heresy and also for witchcraft because she was a woman. The philosopher did not go to hell, but she died in eternity, which is the same thing as heaven, just not someplace else. Again, let me continue. This is called My Buddhist Book. My Buddhist book is a loquat tree. Its pages green and billowing as leaves moved by desire and spring winds. In a fertility dance filling the space between branches with unseen pollen and the traces of pregnant blooms, revealing to the reader her secret story of continuing redemption. And this is Behold the Empire Collapsing. Hobbling along history's path, gripping his walker with a broken back, here comes the curmudgeon now, his imperial crown heavy on the skull of a migraine brain, about to trip and fall to one side of the embattled, bombed-out road he has traveled all these centuries, and there he will lie, face down, to take his final breath among the corpses of his victims. And this I wrote as a Valentine for my daughters. I sent it to both of them. It's called Favorites. Your favorite place is in the distant clouds, among the rafters who glide there where hilltops bump against the sky. Your favorite color is a wildflower losing itself when an avalanche of blooms inundates a mountainside. Your favorite sound is borne upon each weekday breeze from the schoolyards through the neighborhood streets at recess. And this is my act of my poem of faith that the earth is going to outlast us. I think everybody probably knows that. On a morning of storms, as we watch and wait while lightning whips the horizon into rapture, leaving our minds so electrified we are stun-gunned into inertia, until the voices of all the ancient idols thunder down upon us and drench our lives in the cold sweat of the gods, who wake us up and send us dancing like tornadoes through forests, ripping trees and tossing boulders, hurling a muddy sacrifice skyward in celebration of Earth's indestructible existence. That's it. Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure to be here.
Always a strong, thoughtful voice from poet Don Brennan. And for our final offering, your host would like to present Saucy. Tenderized, marbled, released from grommets circusy, stakes sing the praises of an out-of-tune marinade, unafraid to serenade this side of the beef, bacon-wrapped, bringer of grief, to cardiacs arrested for disturbing the leftover piece of this tasty dish, a vegetarian quiche, belly aching in a mushroom where sauce, slowly stirred, begins a begin in a slick-sided tureen, shimmies, quakes, turning front to back into a sexy karaoke, perfect for a pair of tipsy asparagus, numb from hanging a ride to Rio with Ginger and a stare. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful podcast. And once again, we thank host John Rhodes and co-host Clara Sue for allowing us to present our poetry on the podcast San Francisco TV Poetry Show. This is Stephen Coppell saying so long until next time.